Heaven and earth shall pass away first. So I told my friend, I said, this doesn't work like that. In 1 week, you can't lose 7 kg. I thought the chicken and I were talking. He said, you lost the amount of weight. And I said, chicken, it's not possible. He said, I said, chicken, I don't want to hear, it's not possible. I said, the scale is not good. Finally, he went out. After that, he came back. He said, sorry, sir, it wasn't 7 kg, it was 3 kg. I told you now, chicken, nobody bought 7 kg in that amount of time. But let me get back to my story. Why I told that story is that I tried to explain to my friend that, what was I teaching you? I wasn't teaching you how to shed weight. Listen to me. I was teaching you a new habit. Listen, your weight is not a deliberate attempt at a figure. It's a product of your habit, your lifestyle, and the food that you eat. If you sit down and you don't move around much, you will gain weight if you continue eating the same amount of food. And if you want to lose weight, just rearrange your habit. Always don't try to lose weight. Let your weight be a reflection of your current habit. If you don't like it, change the habit. Please forget about the weight. You can't be jumping on a scale every 30 minutes. You know, they say when you chop, finish, drink water, you gain 1 kg. Sharp, sharp. When you go toilet, do the will of God, you lose weight instantly. If one of my friends, his own weight loss self is even financial. When his mother died, he went for the funeral. Somebody called him aside. They talk. Then he came back. He said, Banky, I just lost 5 kg. That discussion cost me 5,000 naira. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, so the point I'm making is this. I said, look, it's a habit. So what do? You form a new habit. Do you understand? For example, this is just practical. If you find out that you used to eat 3 slices of bread in the morning with 2 eggs that are fried, all right, in oil, and afternoon in the office, you eat 1 mound of garri with 2 large pieces of meat and a bottle of Coke, and then you don't eat much or so at night, you just eat more rice with plantain, fried also, and then driver carries you from home, drops in the office. All the work up and down you do is within that building. Most of the time you're on the phone, on the computer, all right, or standing and talking to people and giving instructions. That's the work you do. And they pay you a lot of money for doing that. Listen, the day you started this thing, all right, you were weighing 70 kg. Continue like that for 5 years. It's the day you want to enter your office and you say, please, this door has become narrow. Can you people come and change it? That is when you know what has happened. All those cooks that come to your office, they are part of your problem. They cook too well. What do I mean by changing your habits? Please don't drop breakfast. This is just by the way. Just reduce. That's what I advise. Reduce. Don't stop anyone. Reduce everything. Why fry your eggs? Poach them. Why fry your plantain? Boil them or roast them. Do whatever you need to do. Remove some extra things there and there. You don't need that amount of meat. You're not growing. You're an adult. You understand my point? Reduce it. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. This is my main issue. Your weight won't go down in 1 week. You didn't gain it in 1 week. You formed this habit one day and discovered you're overweight after 5 years. Why do you think you can revert it in 5 weeks? Something you gained in 5 years. The other day, Chiki and I were talking. I said, I'm back to exercising. He said, what's the objective? I said, I want to drop 2 belt holes. That is, I want to move my belt backward. 2 holes. You know, the holes are close together. He said, Oga, how long do you think it will take you? I said, I give myself 4 to 6 months to do that. Some people say, no, you're not serious. I am the one that is serious. I am the one that will achieve it. You that want to reduce your waist to that of Agbani Darego in 1 week. Let us see now. You get my point? I mean, no. It doesn't work like that. I'm not going to make out something. People are too impulsive. Even with the word of God, they are too impulsive. You want to give an offering today and get a harvest tomorrow. Thief. It does not work. I always say, what you don't intend to continue, please don't start it. If you don't intend to continue something, don't start it. Giving must become your lifestyle, not a way to quickly get money. That is why when you start, you learn doctrine. Let the word of God sink into you. Let that be the foundation for your giving, not the need you have. Because believe me, I'm a man of God too. Give that money, you will not get anything back. Not because God has stolen your money. Number one, it was not yours in the first place. But because you cannot dictate how the money comes back. I said to you the other time that money itself is a physical seed. You get my point? Cash is paper with Charles Chukwuma Soludo's signature on it. And the law that governs physical seed is that you plant it into the physical earth, cover it and pour water on it and allow sun to shine. If you want to dictate how your money comes back to you, say so naira, you will get naira. The only way it can happen is that you go and cover it in your garden. And you know that every physical seed that's not a real seed doesn't work like that. So money is a physical seed. It doesn't work like that. Say, Pastor Mark, what are you saying? I am saying that if you want to give and receive, it's a spiritual seed you want to sow. Are you getting my point? And therefore, money is not a spiritual seed. What is a spiritual seed? Mercy. Are you getting my point? Love, kindness, forgiveness. Those are spiritual seeds. So when I give love, I receive what? Love. And I sow it into the spirit. I don't sow it physically. That's why you can't use your money to dictate what physical product it will give you as fruit. You can't. You can't sow car to reap a bigger car. You cannot sow slippers to reap shoe. You can sow shoes into somebody's life. It's mercy. It's an act of mercy. You look at a brother and say, I've noticed that this is the only pair of shoes I've seen with you. And this shoe currently needs a vulcanizer. Please, here is money. Go and buy another pair. You know what you have sown? Kindness and love. The day God wants to pay you back, he will look and say, I have noticed that this is your only son. And he's currently seriously sick. If he were to die, you'll be heartbroken. So I will heal him because of the kindness he showed 7 years ago. You gave shoes. He gave you the life of a child. Are you getting my point? It is spiritual ignorance to say you give money to get money. No, please. Brethren, it doesn't work like that. If you don't want to give, please don't give. Stop being a thief in the house of God. That's why you've seen me. I never put pressure on anybody to get money to run Kingdom World Ministry. You didn't beg me to start it. Did you? Therefore, as many as their soul moves, get my point. I don't think I have money that I'm doing this, all these things we are doing, you know, paying for radio, we are going on TV and all of that. No. People give. There are times we check our account. I see lodgements from strange places. There are about two or three people like that. They consistently drop money in Kingdom World account. I don't even know them to send them a text to say thank you. A young man the other day, I noticed consistently for the last many months, every time I get there, his name is there. He has paid money to Kingdom World Ministry account. But I realized I have this guy's number. He used to be in Enugu. I called him. The guy jumped, wherever he was. He said, this is a phone call from God. I said, I bet he never reached that level. Because I just called him to say, may God bless you for remembering us. Are you getting my point? Later, I'm still talking about it. How to profit by the word. I asked my wife, I said, look, I have noticed something. I'm already experiencing the things I believed 10 years ago concerning ministry. I've said it from time. I'm not a beggar. Neither is the God that sent me a beggar. Listen, there are different ways of stealing. Let me tell you one of the ways to steal. You don't, look, in your life, you've never seen 100,000 naira put together. You don't know how you will get it, yet you go and borrow it. That's stealing. I don't know whether you get the point. You have never seen 100,000 naira put together. You don't know how to get it, yet you go and borrow it, telling somebody, please, sir. Hopefully within the next 3 months, I should pay you back. God is looking at you and saying, this one is a thief. Now, there's something I'm saying. Begging also is the same thing. It's not only when you say, Allah, Ba Musa, that's begging. There's begging from the pulpit. I know this broadcast has been blessing you. If you don't send me an offering, we're going to go off air. That's begging. You didn't beg me to come on air. If I go off air, none of your business. If he pains you, bring money. If it is bothering you that we are going off air, phone us and say, why are you off air? I'm very honest about it. I won't say, it is no longer the will of God. Oh boy, okay, yes, we know it's no longer the will of God. But how did God show us his will? He withdrew the funding. So, in case you want to go and change God's will, Go and meet him. Let him bless you and give us money. Now, please, I'm bringing out an issue here, all right? That in life, you have to learn a habit. People want to lose the weight they gained in 5 years. They want to lose it in 5 days, in 5 weeks. Listen, my brethren, it doesn't work. I tell people, ask yourself, what was I doing 5 years ago when I was weighing only 60 kg? Now I'm 85. What has changed in my life? Ask yourself. You say, oh, that time, you know, I just left school and I used to walk up and down, take a bike, jump, you know, like you did Lagos. You go lose weight. If you never abundantly prosper for Lagos, you go lose weight. You understand my point? But right now, God has settled you over the years. Now, somebody drives you around. You just tell yourself, oh boy, first and foremost, let's not deceive ourselves. That 60 kg is gone forever. This degree of prosperity does not announce 60 kg of weight. No, sometimes you have to be realistic. But at least you know where it started from. So, okay, I can't run around town anymore, but I can run around a football pitch occasionally. So you add that one to your habit. Then instead of driving everywhere you are going, you identify a place you can walk to. It's near your house. You want to go and visit, you walk. You are going to church, walk to church. Little things like that. You increase your physical activity. Then, when I was 5 years ago, when I was 60 kg, this is how my food went. You try and recreate that amount of calories in today. Now, you may not achieve it perfectly. Once you start that habit, please wait for some time. You gained it over 5 years. It's not going to vanish in 5 days or in 5 weeks. Believe me, it won't vanish in 1 year. Just form a new habit and you will see the weight gently crawl back to where it used to be. That is the way it works. Now, I've used all of these things to explain the spiritual principle. You know, we're reading a portion of the scriptures. It said that some people responded quickly with joy. And that's what I'm trying to explain. As believers, we should learn to respond having settled down. Jesus said, which one of you will want to build a house that will not first sit down and count the cost? You settle down first. You went to church one day. They preached so powerfully about the suffering of people in India and how missionaries are needed. And I said, he wants to be a missionary in India. You put up your hand. Listen, my friend, better go and pray and deliver yourself from such commitment. When you hear such doctrines, go home and settle down. Am I really a called missionary? Am I supposed to go to India? Over the next days, months, alright, and peradventure years, God will create, because each seed, alright, is planted. Each word is a seed. They have shown you the mission field in India. It has been planted in your heart. You will never forget. If it resonates with what God plotted for your life, you will discover that India never leaves you alone. And then one day, you will begin to pursue the journey of going to India as a missionary. Are you getting the point I'm making? We don't have to jump up and respond with that kind of quick, you know, response, with joy to one word we heard. We allow the word go in and settle. This is the interesting part. The ones that sprang up quickly, what did Jesus say? It was because they didn't have what? Depth. Quick response is a result of lack of depth. Making quick commitment. You meet a man last week, he proposed, you don't agree, and you are marrying him the following week. It shows that you don't have depth. Are you getting the point I'm making? You don't respond that quickly if you have depth in you. That's the point I'm making, even to God's word. You now say, but there are people listening to me. I've said it before. The problem we have is that we don't have understanding. We'll be using a few testimonies to try and run the life of everybody. The widow of Zarephath gave a single offering and a door opened. Hear Pastor Banky's version. The widow of Zarephath did not give a single offering that her door might open. The widow of Zarephath was a lifetime career giver who had helped the poor in previous times. In the times of plenty, she was already giving. I don't have time to teach about it. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That was why God stimulated the spirit of faith in her that made her obey Elijah. Don't make us an example to stingy people. Are you getting my point? People have never given anything to anybody. There's no one they've ever given that they don't want something back. You now tell them, continue your bad ways. Keep on giving because you want back. And you think you are representing God properly. That's not right. Giving must be motivated by love. And you make a career and a lifestyle of giving. If you don't care about the work of God, don't give towards it. Don't think it's a kalokalo zone for multiplying your money. For information, where they play slot machine, kalokalo. You know what they call kalokalo? That's what they call it on my side. Slot machine. You put in something, they draw it. Most times, you know they produce anything. So it is with that kind of giving also. Do you get what I'm saying? Most people put in, don't get anything. If you do that kind of thing, you also won't get. Are you getting my point? So, the widow of Zarephath was not somebody who just 1 minute. No, it was the last straw that broke the camel's back. And I'm teaching that if you are going to prosper by God's word, you must learn to accumulate the straw. One after the other. He said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. You have to learn to start filling your cloud. That's what I'm discussing. Let's continue reading. So we said, and those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and a time of temptation, they fall away. And that time of trial will always come. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries. Now notice another thing. They go on their way. They are disturbed, distracted with what? Worries and riches. That is the desire for riches. And the pleasures of this life. And for that reason, the fruit began. Now listen, that plant began to grow. It was time to fruit properly and for the fruit to mature. That was when things went wrong. Later on, I'll analyze this. But please bear something in mind. The first point I want you to get from here is this. The problem these people had was the problem of what? Distraction. Say distraction. Distraction. The problem they had was that of what? Distraction. Because the word needs focus. Oh my God, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. It said, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters before God said. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said something to you before. That God didn't just come out to start speaking English. Now that they speak Hebrew, which Moses wrote his account in. The fact was that he spoke no language. But what happened was an eruption of that which filled his heart. As he was incubating and incubating, at a point in time, the thing erupted. And there was light. And when Moses was going to write it down, he said, well, since light was what came out after that explosion, it must have been that God said, let there be light. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is what was written, because God didn't speak any language. But from his heart, something erupted. Listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. Let me use that word. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, it is not as if the person tried to speak. It was that his heart was full. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the actions that come from the word is because somebody has focused upon them. Not somebody say, what's the next thing I do? If I want divine healing, what's the next thing I do? If I want prosperity, well, tell me, the people will call you, pastor, what's the next thing I should do? What's the next thing? In fact, I remember, this will make you laugh. Charles Carp told this story. Talking about faith. He said, one man, his dog died. And he said that you can receive anything from God by faith. So he prayed that the dog should come back to life. So he called the Charles Carp people and said that, well, I prayed for the dog. What next do I do? The man said that, all right, you should keep on giving thanks. He kept on giving thanks. A few days after, he called again. So, the dog is still not awake. What next do I do? The guy said, I think you should bury the dog. What am I saying? He wants to know everything, every step. Pastor, tell me what to do next. Tell me what to do next. Tell me what to do next. Because he himself has not focused. Do you follow what I'm saying? On the word will have moved in him. There would have been something that would have come out of him naturally. The man said, oh boy, you have better bury the dog. The Lord is good. So the point I'm making there is this. You see, that's about distractions. It's about what? Distractions. And that's what we are talking about. Let me read the whole of the thing and then maybe I'll continue my discussion next time. Apparently I can't finish it, all right? Now time is really gone. He said, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Please notice that. Honest and good heart. And they hold it fast. That is, the thing wants to run away. People are trying to steal it. Distractions are coming to remove it from before their eyes, but they hold it fast. Are you getting what I'm saying? I was teaching on Sunday. I went somewhere. And I was supposed to talk about child discipline. It was supposed to generate a discussion and questions and answers. And I read, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. I said, do you know what it means? It is bound. Do you know what it means? It is bound. That is, it's going to be hard work to drive. Bible says that a rod will drive it away. The fact that it is bound shows you that one rod won't drive it away. Several rods and hammer, you know what I mean? Chiseling. Because it is what? It is bound. Foolishness is not passing through the heart of a child. It is what? It is bound. Foolishness does not occasionally visit the heart of a child. It is what? Bound. I'm saying something. In the same manner, he said this will hold it fast. That is, the thing wants to run. Are you getting what I'm saying? The divine opinion wants to run. You operate business for a month, two, three, 1 year using divine principles. Your neighbor has bought a car, you haven't bought one. It wants to run. That's why, listen. The Bible says godliness with contentment indeed is what? Great gain. It said, do your godliness with contentment. I explained the principle then when we're talking about the power of godliness. I said, what contentment means is that when I have done that which is godly, even though I don't get anything, I'm all right. My purpose is godliness. What am I saying? Don't do what is right because you think that's why you will get money. Don't do what is right because somebody told you that that is the way by which you achieve great prosperity. Oh God, I don't know why I'm talking about this giving thing. If you want to give, my brother, my sister, give. Once you give because you want to get, you have not given with contentment. Contentment means that, listen, this is the way it works. I was going out to eat. I had 200 naira. And a friend, a brother came over and said, ah, Banky, where did they go? I said, they go chop. I said, nah, wow. You know, see, since yesterday, I never eat. I said, wow, why? Mouth, they paying you? He said, no, now pocket, they pay me. I said, I am hungry. You are hungry. What shall we do? Let us go and buy food. No, we'll rearrange the food. All the pieces of meat will reduce. It doesn't fill the stomach. But the point I mean is this. If I'm going to give you 100 naira, it is because I have accepted to eat only 100 naira. That is what is called contentment. Not as if, as I'm giving this 100 naira, I just trust God that when we just reach there, something will just happen. Something just won't happen. No, that's not contentment. Contentment is I'm parting with the 100 naira and I'm ready to stomach 100. That's contentment. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's how we do what is right. We do it believing that, look, this, I have done that. You know what Jesus said? He said, when which of you have a slave? You send a slave out to go and work, the slave will show up and say, Oga, I don't work. It's now your turn. As I walk from there, I go sit down. You say, come serve me. Make me to enjoy. He said, which one of you will do that? He said, no. When the slave arrives, he said, all right, very fine. You have finished working outside. Now come and do the work inside the house. Go, bring my food, arrange my water, lay out my evening clothes. Then when I've finished eating, I've refreshed, I've had a bath, then you cannot go and eat. He said, is that not how you treat slaves? They said, yes. He said, you too, you are slaves of God, born servants. That when you have done that which is good, and which is demanded of you, you come and say, we are thy unworthy servants. We have only done that which is demanded of us. We don't demand anything back. I give 1 million naira. I can't say, God, you see, I'm a faithful giver. You're going to give me 1 billion. I will go and say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give 1 million naira. Lord, I thank you that there was a time I did not have 5,000 naira to call my own. Now here am I. Here I am, giving 1 million naira. All glory and honor to you. I appreciate you because you are so good. You have proved yourself faithful in my life. Look at it. I'm giving 1 million naira. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, my Lord. I remember the day my wife and I managed. When I don't say manage, we had been planning. I said, what will I give her parents to make them happy? Because they are well-to-do people. So finally, I had an idea. And the way the idea even developed, I thought the money was too much. But it didn't develop and developed, and finally we did it. And, you know, I remember that day when we saw the excitement on my father-in-law and my mother-in-law's faces. And how they called everybody, come and see, come and see, come and see. I remember once we left their room, my wife and I hugged each other like, ah, at last, we did it. Like, ah, at last. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. I said, ah, what I'm trying to say is I'm used as a principal. I said, ah, at last, we did it. Because I'm one person that believes that, look, children are supposed to give to their parents. I'm serious. That's their job. Children, once you stop being a child, you have now become an adult. Your father may be a multimillionaire. When you are going home, load your boot with wine, pineapples, all right? Pawpaw, oranges, fruit juices, all kinds of things. Go there. Well, if you are a Yoruba man like me, you prostrate. He's a multimillionaire. He's driving a brand new Land Cruiser. Your car is an old model Nissan Sunny. It makes no difference. Load the boot of that Sunny with goodies. You're not supposed to come to the house and be collecting again. Drop it there, greet him. And, you know, not bribery giving, you know. And I say, when that they see this one, they're going to say I'm happy. He will pity my car now. Why not go pity my car? How foolishness. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, so the point, I hope you are following what I'm saying, all of these things. That is, what we do, we want to profit from God's word, it's a habit we form. That's what I'm trying to do. Our time is gone. I'll finish developing this. Let's just finish reading that scriptures. And now I'll be out of here. So it said, they hold it fast and they bear fruit with what? I like the way my Bible puts it. Let me read it from New American Standard. It said, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. They hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Does that tell you something? The fruit of the word doesn't come suddenly. It doesn't come without some struggles. Are you getting what I'm saying? Actually, what I wanted to preach today, my time didn't really allow us to get there. We'll continue next time. It's a matter of bearing fruit with perseverance. You profit from God's word with perseverance. I'll talk about the stages. You know, I believe in divine healing. Amen? I have studied, I have read. Then recently, well, the man that impresses me the most, his anointing moves me more than any other one in that area, is John G. Lake. He learned, first of all, from John Alexander Dowie. And I noticed something about the two of them. They said something. They were talking about one woman they ministered to and she was healed. And that having ministered daily, listen to this, for weeks. You know, it struck me. That the impression I had before was that if you have the anointing, you just lay the hands, power, bam, on the spot. I said, no. I noticed that this man said there are times they will pray for people. In fact, there are times, look, they will talk to somebody. I said, no, we're not praying today. We hold meetings every day. They have meetings every day. And that is the one preaching, one of his men preaching. But every day, they had hostels for people, not because of any other thing, but so that they can come and hear the word daily. Then periodically, they will go with anointing oil. You know, I told you last time that I'm going to buy, and no, I'm serious. Put one in my car, one in my house, one here, one in my, anywhere. Because I found out that fruit is born with what? Perseverance. Doctor can give us medicine for those days when they used to treat tuberculosis. Treatment was for 18 months. Some of the drugs were so plenty, you virtually had to eat each dose. That is like one, two, and one dose, and you'll come back tomorrow. And you will do that for 18 months. Yet, people took them because of what? Faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? A lot, if I remember once, we were in school, a world round. Dr. Issa finished talking, we're discussing with the patient, had Parkinsonism. Medical students were following our guy around. He talked. At the end of the day, he talked to the patient. He said, any questions? The man said, I noticed one word you use while talking to your students, sir. You said we'll be able to achieve a good control. Why is it control? Why not cure? I remember very well, the man is a lawyer. The man was a lawyer. Then he turned back to the man and said, you're very right, sir. I said control and not cure. Because we don't have any cure for you. What we try to do is to put your disease under control to make life bearable. This man will take medicine every day for the rest of his life, but he keeps on taking them. But if it's divine healing, after two anointing oils, two prayers, Result is not quick in coming. He said it doesn't work. The Bible says that they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. You said, but Jesus used to minister to people and suddenly they will get well. That is true. I don't have time to explain it. There are doses of anointing. The Bible said that they carried the anointing of God without measure. That is one. But secondly, they didn't cure everybody. I don't have time to discuss that. No. If he did, the man at the gate called beautiful. How come Peter and John still met him there? You didn't ask yourself? It's the same temple that Jesus used to pass a few weeks ago. He has been there. But most importantly, we'll discuss that next time, is that the people used to come to hear and to be healed. Why do you think he used to teach and teach? After that, begin to pray for the sick. Another thing, most of those people had believed in John. John started the process in their lives. Jesus only completed it. Listen, we'll continue this discussion. In fact, I'm supposed to finish reading my scripture. Please, give me a second. Let me just finish reading it. Then we'll discuss it. Let me go back there. Luke chapter 8. Let us close now. But let me just quickly read this. He said from verse 16, he said, now no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. Notice verse 18. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. What do I want to bring out from here? God gives, he said, to whoever has, more will be given. The one that doesn't have, even the little he thought he had will be taken away. And he was talking about the fruitfulness of the word that was sown. I mean, that's something. The word is also in measures. The word is also in doses. Listen to this. Alright? The word bears fruit by itself. The kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. He and the word bears fruit. The earth by itself bringeth forth. He himself does not know how. The earth by itself, the fruit lands in the earth, between the seed and the earth, they bring forth fruit. The man doesn't know how. The man has a responsibility to make sure that his earth, listen to this, not to make sure the word bears fruit, but to make sure that his earth, his soil, is good and honest. Are you getting what I'm saying? You didn't notice that? The word bears fruit by itself without the man struggling, but the man has an assignment to make sure that the earth that his heart is good and honest and is a persevering heart. But how does he do that? God said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, he said, my word is an instrument. Now, what he said there, all right, is different, all right? He said, it's like a hammer. And the word of God is like a sword. That is, the word of God is an instrument. That is, this is what he uses to weed his heart of thorns. Are you getting my point? Listen, God gives you small word. Get what I'm saying? He gives you a small word that works against covetousness in your heart. You know what we want to do? We want to go and get the word of prosperity to produce. God said, take the word of covetousness that works against covetousness. Use it to weed your heart. Since the day I prophesied upon you, and said, hear me, you will never be average, you will never die young, but you will succeed and greatly increase in life. That word has been planted. Do you get my point? Now I give you small word here and there, and you use it to keep on weeding and keeping your heart clean. And then one day you will look back and discover that indeed that word that was prophesied 10 years ago indeed has borne fruit. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, God gives small word here and there, we use that one. If we don't use it, what happens? The thorns grow. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, they come in, they choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. Why? Because the little word he gave, we did not use it for the proper purposes. We were distracted. Listen, next time I'll complete this thing. I'll complete next time. I think I've made the most important point for the day. I just needed to read that so that I will know where I stopped. Okay? So I can continue developing it. But what I want to bring out in all of these things, which I started today, is that the word bears fruit with perseverance. It bears fruit with patience. It doesn't bear fruit impulsively. Are you getting my point? He gave the word to Abraham. 25 years, he finally bore Isaac. That word brought forth Isaac. Do you get what I'm saying? The word bears fruit with what? Perseverance. What we want is overnight miracle. I've seen, do you know the interesting about we preachers? We even preach it. That tonight is the day of overnight miracles. Well, maybe for the people who their time has finally come, it will happen to them overnight. And then what happens, all right, is that out of 10,000 people, we get 4 people with testimonies of overnight miracle. I will now say the rest of you didn't have faith. Listen to me. In truth, there is no overnight miracle. You just found those 4 people who the time of their manifestation had come. And you thought, or you are thinking, that is proof that you prophesied correctly concerning overnight miracle for everybody. Men's hearts become discouraged because they don't understand that the word of God bears fruit only with what? Perseverance. Patience. You have to take hold of it. There are times he wants to run away from you. You hold it by force. That perseverance is how you profit from God's word. Without it, you don't get anything. Let me end with this scripture. He said, be follower of them. He said, do not be slothful in business, but be follower of them who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. I hope you've gotten my point today. We'll continue it next Tuesday. Let us pray. Let us give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.